It's good to see those out this morning, and especially the visitors that's with us. And I'd like for us to maybe quickly, you see the time has already got away on us, talk about some things in which I do believe that's very important for us and very vital to our salvation. And when we look at the Bible and we study from the Bible, we realize that we need to sometimes question or ask certain things, and I do believe that we need to be ready to give an answer for those things in which that we say, or the things in which that we teach. And as we think about this and realize that who has set the boundaries? That is, who has set the boundaries for the things in which that we do in our life, as well as in our worship, in our service to God? Does man have a right to set those boundaries, or is it God? We find several passages from the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, and chapter 12 and verse 32. We find here that God said we're not to add to, or we're not to take away, we're not to diminish aught from it, from what he has said. In the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, we find again that we are to keep the commandments of God. And also in Proverbs 30 and verse 6, that we're not to add anything to what God says, lest we would be found a liar. So it's very important that we realize who has set the boundaries for those things in which that we do. In Revelation chapter 22, we find in 18 and 19 that God here again warns man not to add to or not to take from. Because if we add to what God says, he says the plagues will be added unto you. So it's very important that we realize when we come to the Word of God what that we are to do in our lives. And who is to be the spokesman for God. We realize as we look to the Scriptures that when we look to God's Word, we find God's approval upon Jesus Christ. You remember from the book of Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus had come to John to be baptized, that John was not, he wasn't really excited about going to baptize the Lord, because he said, I need to be baptized with you. You come to me. And Jesus said, suffer to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And when he had baptized Jesus, and when Jesus was come up out of the water, we find that the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God was pleased with Jesus because Jesus obeyed the will of God. Because John was sent baptizing, John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. John came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then all those people came out and listened to him, and they were immersed by John. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when he ascended into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God, God said, this day have I begotten thee. Again, showing that God's approval upon Jesus Christ. And when you look at Acts chapter 13, 33 through verse 34, we find again that it was foretold of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then the prophet of old said, this day have I begotten thee. Jesus was declared to have power after his resurrection in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. But if you will notice in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 that Jesus is God's spokesman, verse 2. And when we realize that, we need to realize the importance. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here again, God made a distinction between Moses and Elijah and said, "This is my beloved son, and whom I will please, hear ye him." Now we have the approval of God upon Jesus being his spokesman. And we see then in our belief. When it comes to our belief, we realize that John chapter 6 and verse 44, we find here that Jesus says that no man can come to the Father except the Father would send him to draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all hear and be taught. Everyone that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. Did you get what Jesus said? No man can come to the Father except the Father would send him to draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto him. In other words, we've got to hear something before we can believe it. We must hear it before we can believe it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. In John chapter 6, verse 38, or 28 and verse 29, we find here on this occasion that these disciples, those in which that were Jesus was talking to, and those people said, "What works can we do that we may work the work of God?" In verse 29, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Now, when people get the idea into their mind that there is nothing to do for your salvation, then they're deceiving you. And they're going to cause you to be lost. Because Jesus did not say that there was nothing to do. Jesus said that there was work to do. And one of the works is that we are to believe. But we learn as we go forward in John chapter 6 and verse 66 and 69. Some things in which Jesus spoke. Some of those people were hard in understanding. And they didn't want to accept it. And Jesus looks as some of them went away and they walked no more with him. And he looks to the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" And Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou art the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ." Thou art that Christ. What is that? That's the anointed one. That's the one that God sent to take away the sins of the world. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel I preached unto you, in which that you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture." So we learn from this that we stand in the gospel and we're saved by the gospel. At least that's what Paul said. And we must recognize and acknowledge where the authority of Paul came from. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, he said, "I didn't receive it of men. I wasn't taught it of men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Where he got his message from. But as we go forward, we realize that there is a need to believe. In John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Don't labor for the meat which perish." We all know what labor is, don't we? Sure we do. He said, "Don't labor for the meat which perish. But labor for what? That meat which endured or brings about eternal life." That's what you work for. That's what you labor for. You see, the salvation of the Lord is not to sit down and do nothing. It's not to sit down and do nothing. But we're to work our salvation out with fear and trembling. Doing what God requires. When it comes to repentance, we realize that who set the boundaries? Does man have a right to do anything he wants to do in life?
Well, he can do that. He's going to suffer the consequences.
When you think about repentance, in Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you, hey, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This is the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Except you repent, you perish. Turn or burn, it's left up to you. And when we think about that, in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31, at the time of this ignorance, God winks at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man Jesus, whom he has ordained to give assurance that he has raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus was raised from the dead, and we find that in Acts 17, God commands repentance. It's not the church. Oh, we make an effort to encourage and persuade people to turn from sin. But it's not our command, is it? It's God's command. All we're doing is just teaching what God says. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you will notice in this passage that Peter said to these individuals that you need to repent. Why did he say that? Because the Holy Spirit was directing him to. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a command of Peter. Repent and be baptized. If repentance is a command, then baptism is a command. And both of them are connected when a person turns from sin. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, it tells us here that when they had heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, because God had granted the Gentiles repentance unto life. 3:19 says, repent and be converted. But repentance is not all. We learn that there's a need for baptism. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we're to be baptized for the remission of sins. By being baptized for the remission of sins, it brings us, Galatians 3:27, into Christ. It causes us to become a child of God, John 3 and verse 5. And yes, in 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism doth also now save us. You see, it's not the work of the church, is it? No. That's God's work. God has set the boundary. God has set. All we're doing is just telling the religion what God said. By faith going to the baptism doth also now save us. And by doing so, we get into Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. That's where salvation is. But when it comes to our worship, we realize that God has set the boundaries. In Mark chapter 7:7-8, we find in this passage that Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, upon your own perdition, does the worship of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. There were situations in which that these individuals, they thought God's command aside, and then they decided to do things on their own. And Jesus says, vain. It's vain what you're doing. You've laid aside the commandment of God, that you may keep your own traditions. In verse 15. So realize then, our worship, how should it be directed? Well, yours, people in Acts chapter 17, they were worshiping. And here when Paul came by in verse 23, he said, as I pass by, they had your devotions, you had this subscription to the unknown God, him declare I unto you, because why? You're ignorantly worshiping. And he goes forward and says, let me tell you about God. So to speak. And he does. Remind from John 17, verse 17. That we are to take the word of God, because Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is true. Now we know that the Bible is true. We know that the Bible came from God. We know that the source is true. And we know if we follow it, God won't tell us wrong. But if we follow our own thinking, our own way of doing things, then that's when we're going to get in trouble. If I do what God told me to do, I know it can't be. But if I change it, if I alter it, then it can be. John 4:23-24 says, God the Spirit and those who worship Him, notice that you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Must be. Go all the way around because that's what Jesus said. And He's the spokesman for God. You see, God has set the boundaries. It must be in spirit and in truth. And we realize from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, I sent Timothy to you and to bring back to your remembrance, teaching you and telling you those things in which I taught everywhere in every church. You see, in the first century, those churches of the Lord that were scattered abroad throughout different areas of the world, unlike the churches we have today. Because you can find just about anything you want to out there if you're looking for. You couldn't do that in the first century because why? 1 Corinthians 4:17, everything was done the same way. Everything was taught the same way. Not different beliefs and ideas. Everywhere Paul went, he taught the same thing. He preached the same thing. And they did the same thing. And in the worship service of God, we realize God set the boundaries when it comes to our preaching. When it comes to our preaching, God has set the boundaries. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead and is appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. He is in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, if there's a sound doctrine, there has to be an unsound doctrine. Or else there would be no reason to make a distinction between it. Speak the things which become sound doctrine. So in our preaching, it must be the word of God that we preach. I'm sure many of us have probably got no doubt some experiences down through line of our time. And we can relate to those things. But that's not preaching the word. That's something in which happened to us. We have to preach the word of God. Let people know what God says about it. When it comes to prayer, we realize and know it's important. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know whatever we ask or petition we ask God that we receive. See how important prayer is? See how important prayer is? It's important. When it comes to our singing, we realize from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Remember in Luke chapter 5, there was a situation that these fishermen were out there and they were out there fishing all night. And Jesus comes on the scene. And He tells them, you just cast your net on the other side. Lord, we fished all night. We got nothing. But nevertheless, at your